Good morning. Before I get to today's message, I want to clarify something that I talked about last week. If you remember, I spoke about prayer and addressing God as our Father when we pray. After the service, I had some people come up to me and talk to me about issues that they had with their earthly father that made it difficult for them to address God as their Father. And I can understand what they're saying and where they're coming from, because my father and I have not always had the greatest relationship. We don't see eye to eye sometimes, so there's been friction in our relationship. So I can understand why it's difficult for people to see God as their Father. But the fact is, we can have a relationship with our Father who's in heaven. And that relationship comes with all of the baggage that comes with earthly relationships. God as our Father loves us unconditionally, and He wants us to see Him as a loving Father. But we need to learn how not to transfer our feelings toward our earthly Father onto God and look at God like our earthly Father. I'm not going to stand here and say that that's easy to do, because it's not easy to do. But by recognizing that we have difficulty in our earthly relationships, we have trouble seeing God as our Father, we're taking a step in the right direction to having a good relationship with God. Today I want to talk to you about faith in action. I want to start by telling you a story that illustrates faith in action. One night, a house catches on fire, and the family all escapes out the front door, and they gather in the front yard, except for one little boy. He can't make it out the door, so he goes to the roof of the house, and he's standing up there. His dad sees him standing up there, and he yells to his son, "Jump, I'll catch you." The little boy looks down, and he says, "But Dad, I can't see you. There's too much smoke. There's too many flames. I don't know where you are." And the dad says, "It's okay. I can see you. Jump, and I'll catch you." So the little boy jumps from the roof. His father catches him. You see, the little boy knew that his father was trustworthy, and he trusted the fact that his father would catch him. You see, that boy demonstrated faith the way he acted. In the Christian community, we talk about faith a lot. So today I want to use a famous story from the Bible that displays faith in action. See, I want us to be from people who have faith in God, that no matter what the outcome is, we still trust in God, no matter what happens in life. Our story today is found in Daniel chapter 3. This is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were Jewish men who were sent to Babylon as captives. If you grew up in the church and around Sunday school, I'm sure you know this story pretty well. But I want to listen to the story with fresh ears and with new eyes. By the end of the story, I want you to see that these were men of faith and that were willing to trust God no matter the outcome. Let's read Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. King Nebuchadnezzar had made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura, the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps and prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before him. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down to worship the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So in these first 7 verses, we read that King Nebuchadnezzar had this gold statue made. This is a really big statue. It stood 27 meters tall and was 2.7 meters wide. These dimensions give us an image of a statue that's really tall, fairly narrow. So a lot of scholars actually believe that the width is the depth of the statue. It was actually 2.7 meters deep. That would be more proportional to the dimensions. But we don't know what the image was, whether it was an image of the king or an image of one of the Babylonian gods. But in either case, the king calls for all the officials of the land to come gather for this ceremony and dedicate this statue. And these officials, they include Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And at this dedication service, they stand before the statue and they hear this command from the king. The king says that any time they hear this music playing, they are to bow down and worship the statue. And they're supposed to go home and tell all the people that they oversee that they're to do the same thing. So when they people hear the music, they're to worship. And there's this punishment. If you choose not to obey the king, this punishment for ignoring the command is death. But it's not your ordinary death. It's going to be death from being thrown into a fiery furnace. After this dedication ceremony, the officials take the message back to their people, and all the people, they hear the music, and they bow down, and they worship the statue. Some people, they had a bad idea of what faith is. When I was preparing for this message, I was reading a story. And this story illustrates bad faith. In their book, We Let Our Son Die, Larry and Lucy Parker, we tell a story of misguided faith. Larry and his wife paint a picture of how they had come to believe they had just enough faith that God would heal their diabetic son. It came to the point in their son's life when he needed insulin. And Larry and his wife, they decided they didn't want to give their son insulin because they believed that God would heal their son if they just had enough faith. So, believing this, they refused the doctor's orders to give their son insulin. And over time, their son slowly slipped into a diabetic coma. And they still would not give their son insulin. And they listened to some people who told them, "We just don't have enough faith. We need to believe harder, and then God will heal your son." So that's what they did. They kept believing that God would heal their son. Unfortunately, their son died. But even after his death, Larry and his wife would not give up in their faith that their son would be healed. So instead of having a funeral service, they had a resurrection service, believing that if they just tried a little harder and have more faith, that God would raise their son from the dead. For more than a year, they held on to this faith that, like Jesus, their son would rise from the dead. Eventually, both Larry and Lucy were tried and convicted of manslaughter, and they were sent to prison. So these people had the wrong idea of what faith was. They believed that they just needed to believe harder, more stronger, and God would heal their son. I'm going to continue reading the story in Daniel. The rest of the story illustrates to us what real faith is. Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 30. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your Majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, Your Majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image of made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your Majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times harder than usual. and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire did not harm their bodies, nor was a hair of their head seen. The robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut to pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save them this way." And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the bottomless pit.
This story is a demonstration of real faith.
So some men, they went to the king and they decided they needed to tell to the king that there were these Jews who weren't obeying the king's command. There was these certain Jews who were refusing to bow down and worship the statue. These men, they thought it would be a good idea to go to the king and remind him of the rule. So they went to the king and they said, "Didn't you say that if people didn't bow down and worship your statue, that they would be thrown into the fiery furnace?" I don't know why these men had a problem with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's possible they were upset that these were Jewish men who were rulers in the kingdom of Babylon. But for whatever the reason was, they decided to go to the king and tell. So the king, he becomes furious when he hears this news. He's not very happy that these men aren't obeying him, men that he had put in an important position in his kingdom. So he orders that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him to stand before him. I don't know about you, but standing before a furious king doesn't sound like my idea of a perfect Saturday afternoon. But the king wanted to hear from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if what he had heard was true. He wanted to hear from their mouth if they were refusing to bow down. He didn't just believe the rumors he was hearing. He went straight to the source to find the truth. So he asked them, "Do you really refuse to bow before my statue? You heard the command. Do you really refuse?" But being the nice king that he is, he said, "Well, you know what? I'm going to give you one more chance to obey me. Well, if you're ready, you can bow down now. I'll have some music played and you guys can worship my statue. Let me tell you this. If you refuse to worship this time, I'm going to have you thrown in that fiery furnace right away." I want you to notice what the response is in verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from Your Majesty's hand. But even if He does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of what you have set up." Notice that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't claim that their God is bigger than the fire. And they didn't say with certainty that God would save them from the fire. They didn't claim that their great faith in God would save them. They knew that God was able to save them if He wanted to. That's why they said, "God is able to save us, but even if He doesn't, we will still serve Him. We will still obey Him." Basically, they were saying this: we don't know what will happen to us. The only thing that we know is that we trust God and that we will obey Him. On this it make the king even angrier? The Bible says he was filled with fury and his face, his attitude changed toward them. I think deep down the king wanted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to worship so that he wouldn't have to put them in the front. I think he liked them. His attitude changed because they still refused to obey him. So the king ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual. I think that what the Bible is trying to say is that he made the fire as hot as they possibly could make it. And he orders his strong men to come and tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, carry them down to the fire and throw them in. As they approach the fire, it's so hot, it's superheated, the strong men die. They fall down dead. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're tied up so they fall into the fire. The ropes, they burn off, and they're able to stand up and walk around. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are unhurt. They're walking around in the fire. And again, he looks and he sees them walking around. So he calls all of his advisors and his important people over and says, "Did we throw 3 men into that fire?" They're like, "Yeah, we threw 3 guys in there." And he's like, "There's 4 guys in there now. Going on here?" And so the king, he gets up, he goes as close to the fire as he can, and he calls for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out of the fire. He says, "Come on out of there, I need to talk to you." And they come out, and the king sees that they're not harmed in any way. Their clothes aren't burned. They don't even smell like smoke. If you've ever been around a campfire, you know, it smells smoke after a few minutes of being on the campfire. But these guys are in the fire, and they don't even smell. The king recognizes that God is the Most High God. That's what the king has to say in verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels to rescue his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." The king recognized their faith, their trust and willingness to obey God, even at the cost of their life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that it was more important to obey God and serve God than to keep their life by disobeying God's command not to worship any other gods. Do you have to have this kind of faith in God? A faith that says, no matter the cost, I will trust in God. In order to have that kind of faith, I think we first need to understand what faith is not. So I want to give you 2 things that faith is not. Now, these are 2 things that I was studying for this sermon that I came across. These are not original ideas. These are a compilation of different ideas that I read this week. Number one, faith is not reliance in faith itself. In other words, faith is not faith in faith. Sometimes we have this idea that we just need to believe more in order to have the proper amount of faith. Like the parents in the story I told you earlier, they thought that they just believed more and God would hear their prayer and they had the right kind of faith. They thought it was their lack of faith that prevented their son from being healed. Sometimes we can fall into that trap too. We think, okay, if I just have a little more faith, or if I can believe that much harder, then God will answer my prayer and I'll have the proper kind of faith. We think that if we're positive in our thinking, we will get the outcome that we desire. We go through this elaborate ritual of praying and reading our Bible more than we usually do. We tell ourselves that we should need to have faith. We try to convince ourselves that there can be no doubt in our mind or our faith is not strong enough. This is not faith in God as much as it is confidence in our own ability to believe enough to convince God to give us what we want. Let me say that again. This is important. I want you to get this. This is not faith in God as much as it is confidence in our own ability to believe enough to convince God to give us what we want. With the parents in the story that I told you, they had confidence in their ability to have faith. And they had this confidence in their ability to to heal their son. They were counting on their own ability to believe enough in God to heal. Contrast that to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were not counting on their own ability. They were counting on their own belief in God, their own strength. They were trusting in God alone to save them. That is why they were able to say, no matter what happened in this fire, we know God is in control. The second thing that faith is not. Faith is not confidence in what we would like to take place, but what we would like to have happen. Maybe we've gotten to the point in our life where we don't have faith in faith itself. We know that our confidence should only be in God. It is still possible for us to have the wrong kind of faith. It is possible for us to think that God should do what we want to do, what we want Him to do, because it's a good thing. You think that there's something that God should be doing, and it might be a good thing, it might be something spiritual. The problem with that kind of thinking is that it's your idea, not God's. It's your idea of what you think should be happening in your life. You believe that God is going to give you a new job or a better paying job because if He does that, you're going to be able to give more money to the church. That's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to give money to the church. So you trust in that. You believe that because it's a good thing to give more money to the church, that God is going to give you a better paying job or a new job so that you can get more. Because this is going to give glory and honor to God, you should and will do it because I want. In other words, we think we can get God to act a certain way because we believe and trust in Him. We think that we can get God to act a certain way because we believe and trust in Him. The problem with this kind of thinking is that we think we can get whatever we want from God because we believe that God will give it to us. Tell you another story. It's a story about a pastor named Jim Conway. And this is a pastor who believed in God's love. At one point in his life, he had this kind of faith we're talking about this morning. He thought that he could get God to give him what he wanted because it was a good thing. Jim's daughter was diagnosed with cancer. And his doctor said that they would need to amputate her leg in order to save her life. Naturally, Jim was disappointed by this news. He found it hard to believe that God would allow his daughter to go through this, that God would allow his daughter's life to be amputated. At the same time, Jim believed in a God, the God of miracles, the God of the Bible, who could heal people, and truly believed that God would heal his daughter. Deep in his heart, he believed that God would use her healing as a testimony to the community and a testimony to the doctor. The day of the surgery came, and Jim asked the doctor to take one more look at her leg and see that it was going to be all better, because he believed that God had healed her. He thought, okay, this surgeon, he's going to come out of that room, and he's going to be astounded by God's love and mercy, and he's going to become a Christian. So the doctor went back to check on the daughter, and the family all gathered together to wait for him, waiting in anticipation of the great news that the daughter was healed. When the surgeon came back into the room, Jim could tell by the look on the doctor's face that the miracle didn't happen. Jim ran from that room. He ran to the basement of the hospital and he started crying. He was pounding his fist on the wall and crying out to God, "Why didn't you heal my daughter? I had faith." He felt that God had abandoned him in his time of need. Then he agreed to come back to the Bible and began studying faith in the Bible. And he realized that the faith that he was demonstrating was not biblical faith. He realized he was trying to make God act a certain way when he should have been relying on God to do what God was going to do. Sometimes God doesn't make sense to us. Here's the thing. God doesn't think like us. There are us who are consumed with thinking earthly things. We have earthly lives. But God doesn't think about that. He thinks in an eternal way. He thinks about eternity. We don't always understand why God is working the way that He is. All we can do is trust what He's doing. We trust that He knows what's best for us. And that He has our best interests in mind. That He has the best interests for our children. And the best interests of the people we've never even met. God knows what's best for those people, for us. We don't know what God knows. So we just need to trust that He loves us and that He is doing His best for us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did this. They didn't have faith that said God should act in a certain way. They didn't say, hey God, take a look at us. We're obeying You. We didn't bow down and worship the statue. So it's Your turn to do us a favor. We've got to save us from this fiery furnace now. That's not what they said. They said, if God saves us, great. If God doesn't, that's great too, because God can control. Their faith was trust in God, not in what they wanted to have happen. The biblical faith is trust in God alone. It really is that simple. There's nothing fancy to it. It's just trusting in God alone. The story from the Bible today shows us that faith is not just a certain set of beliefs. Or believing in our own faith, our own ability to have faith. He shows us that faith is also not believing in what we want to have happen, even if it's a good thing. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter full of stories of faith. Each person mentioned in this chapter in Hebrews is the person that had faith in God alone. These are people, these are examples of true biblical faith. They let God be God. Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 9, we read this. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in foreign countries. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him. Abraham had faith in God. God told him one day, hey, get up, Abraham, and go. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he got up, and he went, because he had faith in God. Even Jesus was an example of biblical faith. At the end of his time here on earth, Jesus was in the garden praying the night before his crucifixion. And you read it in Mark chapter 14. In the garden, Jesus was praying and said to God, God, if it's Your will, take this cup from me. If not, then I surrender to Your will. See, Jesus knew that he could trust in God to bring him through this awful death on the cross. Jesus wanted that death cup to pass from him, but it abandoned his personal desire. That's not what his faith was. His faith was in God. And knowing that God had the best plan in mind. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego rested in the fact that God is God, and that they can trust Him no matter what happened. In conclusion, I would say this. The testing of our faith comes when God says no. At times we feel like God is not answering our prayer, and that our prayers have gone unanswered. The problem with this phrase, unanswered prayer, is that it's not really that accurate. God listens to every prayer, and He answers every prayer. It's just that sometimes He answers in a different way than we're expecting. Maybe He says no to our prayer. Or maybe sometimes we're praying for God to say no, and God says yes. We have to realize that sometimes the answer is going to be different than what we think we need or what we want. Is that this time our faith is tested? This time, do we still trust God to be God and let Him do His work? Even if He gives us attention in our life? Does our faith stand strong no matter what the circumstances are in our life? Will we be people who stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, no matter what happens, I will trust in God alone. Let's pray. Father, we would be people of faith, God. We would. Let you be, God, the best of you to be close to you. Put our faith in you alone, not in our own abilities to have faith, our desires for good things to happen. We just pray that. When times are hard, times are difficult, Lord, that we would just trust in you. Know that you have everything in control, that